Ah, yes. This story seems like a personal account. A first-person view of a painter. Interesting. But it switches views. We can only become this creator and find out. Let's dive in. It was midnight, and he kept on painting. Ferocious in his strokes, the painter continued his random madness. It was his interpretation, his constant downfall and recovery, and the chaos in between. He uses it as energy to push forward and create something. Anything. Just anything. You see, this is the monologue I have in my head. I get right into my thoughts that my consciousness goes outwards. Things start to become third person. I look at myself from outside of the room, and I get possessed by some other creature or thing. I viewed the studio, the rickety wood, the dull glass, and the cold frost seeping from outside, but I won't let that affect my painting. I won't let it hinder my creative endeavors, useless, and I sure as hell won't let it stop me. He continues on, this lovely painter, deep in the cold, to the near point of frostbite. Nothing else will matter anyway. He just needs to get this out. Whatever it was. Episode 18, Beyond the Edge. Welcome to the Tempered Fables. My name is N.T. Clover. Come, sit by the fire. Let me tell you a story from two different points of views. How did this all start? Ah, yes, it was an album. An album I picked up at the record store. The strange design on the front caught my eye. Surreal. A sailboat venturing forward into the vast nothingness of space. There was nothing but stars and skies, and this gallant white vessel was on its way to nothing. The void, whatever, wherever that was. Why are you sailing that way? Is it worth the trouble? There's nothing there, right? I stood there clenching the record, probably for a good 20 minutes, just pondering the question. It's a weird question, right? These thoughts tend to come at me at times. I can't help myself. I mean, it could just be some random artistic design born out of drugs and lack of sleep. They tend to do that. In the end, I couldn't come to a conclusion. None of the answers I came up with satisfied me. The owner of the store, a man in his 40s, let's say late 30s, out of respect, looked at me beyond his tipping, fogged glasses. He must have been observing me all this time. I could have been a thief to anyone, given how messily I dressed. Catching his glance, I looked back down at the record. Maybe the answer is inside. Right, I decided to buy it. Holding it with both paint-stained hands, I went to the counter to set the record down.
That one, eh?
He had a very heavy Inaka accent. Countryside. I mean, 4 hours by train from the nearest city of Tokyo, and you hear some strange voices.
That one was desperate for a master. There's nothing on it. No description, no explanation, no artist, no tracklist, nothing. Just the title and the cover.
He then said the name. I couldn't catch what he said. He had his hand out, though. It was otherwise a normal transaction. I still wondered what he said. I pointed to the title and asked,
Yes, this. What's name?
2 months in language school. You have to forgive me. He said it again and I couldn't catch it.
Ego, English, please.
The man in his late 30s, out of respect, frowned. He took a red ballpoint pen from his chest pocket and wrote it down on a piece of paper. He handed it to me. Beyond the Edge. I walked out into the autumn town, met with the orange warmth of dusk and dust. It was near the end of the day, and people were heading back home to see their families. It was nearing dinner time, I believe, when I was taking that fateful walk around the city. I'd only just moved there recently, and I never took the time to explore the treasures of this place. The first was this record. I walked past the tram tracks and nodded at the passers-by. I call it a town, but everyone treated me like their own neighbor.
It felt compact, small, and everybody spent their idle times in the city center anyway. You're bound to see the same regular old people. Plus, you won't see much of my look around here. A different skin tone, blue eyes, and a larger stature stood me out from the crowd. Plus, painting isn't exactly a common job around here. Only soon after did rumors of my moving here spread to most of the town. It was like being a mini celebrity. For a small town of 15,000, that's 15,000 people who know your name. Everybody would say hi to you. They're nice. It's tiring, though. That's a lot of strangers every day. But 15,000 is better than the buzz of main cities. I needed the silence. I needed the focus. I never liked anything else. I can be myself when it's a quieter place. I don't want to be anyone else, you know. Just me. I want my own rules to live my own life. But sometimes it gets to us. Conforming is for the warm. Creativity is for the cold. We are cold enough to stray away from what society needs. We create against the flow. We battle for our own rights. It's cold because we could feel the winds. It's cold because we feel alone. Back at the studio, I sat the record atop the stool and readied my works. Everything must be in a specific set of conditions. The room temperature, the height of the canvas, and even the position of books. It was left untouched before I left the house, but it's nice to double-check. Maybe even triple-check, just in case. And now we can start. Oh, wait, but first I need a jolt. Do you ever get that, a jolt? Some sort of electric event? I call them jolts. They jumpstart your mind. These are moments that make you feel like you've just woken up from a deep slumber. The death of family. Your dog dies. Your first kiss. Your first heartbreak. Your child flown away. The homeless thanking you. Something like that. Maybe not that grand, but if it's a jolt, it's a jolt. I've had it all. It's been a while since the last time. Not that I was searching for more things to ruin my life, but the pressure builds me. Maybe I just need more struggles. I looked at the record again, at the sailboat venturing into nothingness. Now, in possession of this record, I wondered if there was anything else interesting about it. When I opened it, an envelope dropped out of the sleeve. It had a red seal on it, with slight pieces of ash trailing off the edges of the paper. Is this for me? Well, I bought it, so... Let's see. Beyond the Edge. Oh, it's English. Have you ever wondered what happens if you go too far in your own mind? Breaking its boundaries, destroying your limits, and in the end, evolving yourself to become someone, something, completely new. And you do this over and over again, until you become something you are afraid of. What happens if you jump off then? This record will help you explore what happens at the end of it all. Regards, I couldn't read the signature. Curse my lack of reading skills, but never mind that. Let's try it. Play. I heard the voice mutter to my ears. Was it the record talking or was it me? Maybe it's the fatigue or the incoming cold. Winter isn't coming until the next month, but my skin can sense it. What happens at the end of it all? The voice was louder, darker. No one else was there in the room except me. Maybe it is the record talking to me. Am I losing my mind? The record was in my hand. It felt heavier than before. It was the same weight, but my thoughts brought with it an extra touch of gravity. Set sail. I set it on my player. I played it, and it started. It started off faint, but you could hear the faint sounds of electronica, themes of space and a never-ending journey, ambience, a gradual bass, and reverberations larger than my own life. My ears were thumping. I started bringing paint to the canvas. Then came the jazz. Jazz? What the hell? Is this hybrid experimental music or something? I listened on, eyes closed, with paintbrush in my hand. Then, I felt it. The chills down my spine, crawling on my skin. The song didn't change, but my thoughts did. I wasn't sure if the song unlocked something in me. I've heard of specific notes that could unlock the mind, but those aren't released in records like these. Those are normally for science. You know, prototype stuff. But... did I just become an experiment? A guinea pig to my own madness? Is this where he would come out? Monologues, the narrator? The other one. He would possess my hands, escape, and project himself on the canvas. He would make a speech full of monologues of his own choices in a room of one. And I would get pushed out of my own body. And I would listen to myself, himself. I would have no choice but to witness it. Slowly but surely, one by one, with each stroke. It's been a while, my friend. Where have you been? I've been waiting for you since Sally left me 8 years ago. You were there, right? You wanted to escape. Remember? We painted her coffin. Where were you? Why didn't you save me? Monologues is out. Monologues is free. Paintbrush hand tightened with a dark red grip, blood rushing to the tips. Taking the red he, the painter, created vermilion, a sanguine, as is the color of blood surface from a wound. But whose wound? And painted the base as such, the background of anger. It was pure fire. Yes, yes it was. More red needed, of course. But fire cannot be tamed, and no force can be so great as violence itself. Wielded in form, wielded for murderous manners. Monologues must continue. There is never enough red. Red for all his lives. Monologues must continue. Good gods, what was I painting? Is this anger? I was angry? At who? Monologues, what is this? I could never remember when he came to existence. This narrator. This construct of mine. First person and third person had always made sense to me. There was a distinction, like in literature. Myself or someone else. After the first few times, I figured this was the only way to eject myself from the situation and let myself paint at 100%. Cast my limits aside and strive to do the things I really want to make. But monologues, what is this? Fire. Fire. There is only fire from my life. Fire from death. Fire from anger. Fire from the wrath of others. They all hate the painter. They all hate the cold. The cold ones fight back, so they burn him. Whenever I myself paint, the paints and techniques I choose have a purpose. A logical purpose. It had all been according to a technique, things proven in the past. Things that people may appreciate. Things that are tried through error. But he, this construct, works differently. He conjures something out of nothing. None of his paintings make sense. All that he is wild, and he himself is abstract. His very concept is. I have to keep up by describing him, describing his works. I don't want to lose myself, but... Owner is stranger. His painting is strange. His painting is off. Owner says lines are borders to things that exist. So he uses black. But black is vicious. Black is void. Black is nothing. Things are afraid of nothing. Things are afraid of not existing. But black is nothing. And he needs black to paint something. So the vicious came out. Line by line, all starts to exist with darkness. Monologues is afraid. Monologues doesn't want to not exist. Why paint his fears in front of him? Why not? The questions multiply like thoughts in owner's mind. Thoughts are heavy. Too many thoughts stop action. Too many fears stop action. Released thoughts have little thoughts. Little thoughts to make space for better feelings. Why paint fears then? Why paint what we are afraid of? Because borders made will be borders gone, and once painted over, you can start again. Scared, but monologues must continue. Monologues must paint it with black. The construct made an outline to something. I can't make out what it is. No matter what angle I'm looking at the canvas, I don't understand it. It's a strange pattern, but this is monologues we are talking about here. It might not make sense at first glance. Human sense. But monologues, the narrator is weird. Of all the colors in the wheel, he could choose none to all of them, because in his world, it's different. Whatever his world is. Either way, what doesn't make sense at first is better understood in art. But how we sense everything in the world is subjective, right? We consist of reactions to all the things we sense around us. I guess people just have different lenses of everything physical or abstract. What we view is just our futile attempts at understanding everything. Well, we try, at least. But if we don't? Well, that's when the fear kicks in. Fear of the unknown. Fear of no understanding. Fear of what's beyond us. We are always afraid. Drowning. Drowning, drowning, drowning. Owner lost control. Owner is a ghost. No touching, no feeling. Dying in blue. Memory won't help. Memory is inspiration, but memory is an answer. Now is the answer. Blue cannot be found in present time. Blue is the sadness of the past, the dread of the future. Only bright baby blue exists now. Blue, blue, true blue. The brightest blue, not the darkest blue. No one likes the deep dark blue. The crescendo came. It's freeform now, the song. I don't even know which track this is. It was the ocean, a deep dark ocean of blue, over a sky of red and black, strange patterns. This scene looked familiar. I drowned here a long time ago, after Sally's death. I wanted to. There was nothing else left on the surface for me. It was meant to be my downfall. The narrator painted the details in. The swimmers, the children, and my own body. The bubbles that were gasping for air and the smell of being alive. I remembered I was saved by a lifeguard. They thought I couldn't swim, that I had a cramp or something. I remember telling them, no, that wasn't it. I just forgot how to live. They took me in then, and I ran away soon after. Ah, so nice. The sun rise and shine. Yellow is the brightest, the happiest of them all. Yellow is fleeting and only for day. But yellow comes back after darkness. Yellow comes back in the morning. You can trust it. Yellow is where everyone should be. Yellow is all the world ever wants to be. The brightness of the sun poured from the horizon on an alto sax solo. This was the same brightness as the first dawn I saw after morning. It took a long time for that morning to come, and I wished Sally was there to see it too. Oh, my dear Sally. He knew, and only now I do too. The warmth of my face, the birth of dawn. It was a new day, and I'm reborn. Knowing my wife lives within me and above, watching me from the skies, that the world still shines on regardless. Accepting that fact. It felt great to know I could walk forward again. The ambience opened up on a major note. The rest of the band came in together. My body and the narrator continued on and on with no need for food and water. I could tell my arms are weakening. They're not as fast as they usually are. Narrator? Hello? That's my body you're using. Could you go and grab something from the fridge? I tried to throw myself back into my own body, but I was promptly rejected. I felt the sharp pain in my forehead. He knew. Right now, at this moment, it became more important to paint this than to live. Art is my why. It always had been. I think he understands that. Maybe a bit too much. I looked outside. A blizzard was coming. Strange. It was autumn moments ago. That's it. It's this record. It's all the stupid record's fault. We've been at this for weeks now. A back and forth argument taking over my body. My body. Trying to survive. But the painting. The painting will be gone. No, stop it. It won't run away. We could always pause the record and... The body stopped right when he was done with green. His head, well, my head, screwed towards the record player in an unnatural fashion. I felt the pain from up here. I also felt a bit queasy, looking at my own body doing that. Something that you'd see in a horror movie. But this could be my chance. I need to stop this record. I need to pause. I need to stop. Monologues might lose it. Monologues needs to bring it back. A bit more, don't lose it. I know, but I need to eat. I need to drink. I need to survive. I need to breathe, my friend. I couldn't even hear the record anymore. The music was mute. It could be deafened to me. He reacted to it, after all. I could see the record still playing on varied grooves etched in the vinyl. Something was playing. My body stopped, frozen as if posing, and said something out loud into the empty room. What happens at the end of it all? What does happen at the end of it all? Time slowed. The dripping of paint. The howling of the winter wind. The painting staring back at him and me. All were brought to slow motion. The only sound reverberating was the drip of black paint. What will happen to me at the end of it all? Purple, purple, many a purple. A switch, like a faint click, could be heard in the room, and all of a sudden the narrator disappeared. I was back in my own body. In front of me stood the painting. A sky of red, an ocean of blue, a yellow sun, the green of grassy hills, the indigo of animals and the violet of stars. A month's work and all the colors, my life in a nutshell, with all the troubles, the wonders, the ponders, and the edge of my own existence. What was alarming to me was that in my right hand, I was holding a bucket full of jet black paint. It was heavy, with the paint swirling in the middle. The currents inside spiraled as if it was raging within. It looked alive, organic even. It's like it could talk to me. The more I look into its strange, swirling waves,
set sail.
You know what to do. The heavy pain crept up my arm. I froze, facing my own art. The picture of my life in one maddening, nonsensical canvas.
Set me free.
I tear it up. I can't stop myself. I can't do this. I spoke out loud into the vast, empty room. This is unfair. Does it take this much pain? This much suffering just to imagine? Do I need this much shock to stay alive? Do I need to paint my whole life black just to see what comes out? I don't want to do this. I don't want to. But I want to, I want to know what happens. What lies there for me at the end? Will I just fall off? Or will I just die? I looked at the record, now left with a grand piano and minor in an echoing room. you know, just where to hit the right notes, huh? It covered my masterpiece. It oozed and veiled over all the colors. There was barely anything left. I broke down to my knees and cried. I cried and I cried and I cried.
Owner's consciousness has broken. Owner's will is gone. Now we create. Now, from nothing, we will sail. Let's set sail.
I looked up to see the paint emanating a faint glow. The paint was merging together. The black was eating the other colors, small mouths engulfing the reds and blues. The sounds of liquids mixing multiplied, and all became part of the black. But slowly, I noticed something came out of the canvas. Small specks of white, small but pointed, started to appear on the upper half. The colors came back, but only in certain formations. The red became nebulas, the blue became dust, and the green auroras. They blended in like lighted braids, floating across the canvas, and all that was left was the indigo and violet, which came together to form a sailboat made out of white and purple. It was fleeting. It was space. It sailed towards the edge of the canvas. There was nothing else there, but that was exactly it. There was nothing else there, except the sailboat and the stars. That was the edge of the world. This is where nothingness lives. I looked at the record cover. Beyond the edge. It was the same composition, except the colors were slightly different. It was my own sailboat. This is me. What happens at the end of it all? To draw the nonsensical, to paint absolute nothingness. I had to break my own human limits to reach this place, the edge of everything. But you knew, didn't you? This is what would happen. A place where we could create beautiful things that make no sense. For our sense is human, and art is universal. Only the universe can contain its beauty, and we could only appreciate its vastness. You knew. Because this is where you came from, right? Monologues, the narrator.
Painter struck the nail on the head. Narrators lie beyond the confines of the human mind, the room, the world, and the universe. Narrators live in the nothing. Where creation is destruction, where bliss is struggle, where sense takes no place. The chaos in between is what we offer you back. True living is reaching beyond the boundaries. Living is reaching here. Living is what monologues the narrator always wanted. This narrator had only wanted you to understand.
Have you ever wondered what happens if you go too far in your creativity? Some people will call you mad. Some people will call you crazy. Others will stop understanding you when you try to describe what's beyond life. Breaking its boundaries, destroying one's limits, and in the end, evolving yourself to become someone, something completely new. This, my listener, is what it means to live in the world of nothing. Beyond the edge, where the narrators of our lives lie and the full extent of our imagination lives. I believe freedom lives somewhere here too. Somewhere beyond the edge. I guess it is. Creativity is freedom to imagine, after all. And so I lifted the finger and I laid it again, and the record starts playing again. From the beginning. is the end of the tale. Until next time, friend, I'll be waiting by the fire.
Hi there, Norman here. Thank you for listening to this one, the weirdest story I have ever written so far throughout all of Tempered Fables. So let's go through some of the inspirations. So first of all, it started off with a famous song called Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. Me and my dad were listening to it throughout a road trip that we did recently. And listening to the entire 40-minute plus song, you go through an experience. It's fascinating listening to that. It's also the song that propelled Richard Branson's career, so if you're interested, you should check out the song. It's experimental music, so it's a whole bunch of genres and a whole bunch of instruments put together to bring you on a journey that set the basis for the famous record. And the vinyl record cover idea was inspired by Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Not the actual songs themselves, but the graphic image, the front cover. So to have something so trippy and experimental and artistic in that fashion, I thought of creating something very similar for this story. And I wrote a few notes beforehand because this idea was quite a while ago. So it only took me this long. It took me months to finish this specific story. So yeah, I wrote a question somewhere in one of my books, one of my notebooks. What happens if an artist's imagination goes way beyond what's humanly possible? So sailing beyond the edge of the world into nothingness, you know, waking up as something completely new. Are you going to be someone completely different? What is beyond the reach of our human senses, basically? So, you know, if you try to transpose that into an art form or a medium, are you considered crazy? Is it, you know, like a hallucination or something? To talk about imagination, people, well, interpret it differently, and the extent of which people transpose their creative works or imaginations into different art forms, it can differ from individual to individual, but the method of reaching there in the first place can vary differently. So for me, it could be inspirations. For other people, it could be drugs or hallucinations, basically, or experiences that they've tried. Maybe it could be the music that we listen to. But really, the point of this story specifically is that imagination is at the core of our character and individuality. And to go so far in your imagination is the greatest form of self-expression. And I think that is one of the founding bricks of, you know, one's purpose in life. So what really is beyond the edge? When I was trying to answer that question, I realized that I, as a person, am not enough to describe it. So I had to create a character, or I had to create a narrative, so the story. And it's also tied to the fact that I do have a pen name, N.T. Clover. So to have another character represent this part of me is imprinted into this story as I was exploring this question. What happens if you go beyond your imagination all the way at the edge of it? Anyway, I'll stop there. I'm gonna stop rambling. You might think I'm crazy, and that's fine. Whether you think I'm crazy or not, or whether you think I'm weird, at the very least, I am glad that you have listened to this episode. So thank you for doing that. Take care, and I will see you at the edge of it all. Well, the next episode. Take care, and bye.
If you'd like to keep up to date on the latest information, do check out temperedfables.com. Alternatively, you can also check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Episodes are released every Monday and Friday. This podcast is hosted, created, and narrated by Norman T. Chella. During the day, he's a freelance writer and speaker. And during the night, he makes stories. He also does voice acting for commercials, audiobooks, and other real-world things. For more information, do check out normanchella.com. Sound effects are obtained from zapsplat.com. Hey there, just letting you know that some songs are used under the Creative Commons license and are obtained from Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com.
Shades of Spring, Suonatore di Liuto, Exotics, Feral Chase, Anguish, Plaint, Heartwarming, Opportunity Walks, Mesmerize.
And that's it. Check it out at incompetech.com. Thanks, Kevin.